Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
AdoptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. On the line with us, Ali Velshi, the host of MSNBC's Velshi, which Louise and I religiously watch every Saturday, Sunday morning on MSNBC. Ali Velshi, A-L-I-V-E-L-S-H-I on Twitter. Ali, welcome back to the program. There's been a lot of pearl clutching around Donald Trump having dinner with Nick Fuentes. I was ranting about this 2 hours ago at the beginning of the program. My op-ed today saying that this really isn't anything new in the Republican Party. No. It goes back to 64. You have thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, there's two parts to that. One is what you wrote about, that it's not new in the Republican Party. It's not new about Donald Trump, right? I mean, there's a 60-year plus history of Donald Trump and his father denying rentals to black people, talking about at one point he doesn't really like black people as accountants. He just wants guys in yarmulkes. The Central Park Five, the coming down the elevator at Trump Tower, talking about black people or Hispanics as rapists, the Muslim ban, the stand by and stand back to the Proud Boys during the presidential debate, the good people on both sides. So the idea that anybody is surprised by any of this right now is amazing. The language Donald Trump used, he's not denounced Nick Fuentes, who is an avowed anti-Semite and Holocaust denier. In fact, Nick Fuentes and Kanye West are busy on InfoWars, on Alex Jones' show right now, talking about how Hitler's not such a bad guy, or he understands yep. Hitler. Kanye said Nick Fuentes is still there. It's a whole lot of anti-Semitism. So all of this fits a pattern that no one should be surprised by. And if I were a mainstream Republican or one who wasn't in Donald Trump's thrall, I would have no difficulty with condemning this. The problem is being in Trump's thrall it causes you to make some very big judgment errors, and you would think that anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial and racism and white supremacy and all this kind of stuff would be the line you can't cross. That, you know, sticking with that would be crossing the Rubicon, something from which you cannot return. And that's not the case. In fact, I was just looking at the most recent numbers we've got right now. PBS asked 57 Republicans for a response to Donald Trump and Nick Fuentes. 38 of them did not respond. They just had no response. One of the responses from John Cornyn of Texas, he told a reporter for Raw Story that he had better things to do. I don't know what the end of that sentence was. Better things to do than to condemn hate. I don't know. But it's a very weird situation. Some people are pearl-clutching. Some Republicans are avoiding this entirely because it's too much. It's too far a bridge to cross to condemn the former president for having dinner with an anti-Semite Holocaust denier.
My concern about this is that it speaks to the power of racism in politics in the United States, and how that power has been intentionally used. I mean, Richard Nixon in 1964, when Lyndon Johnson famously told Bill Moyers after he signed the Civil Rights Act that he was concerned that he had just given away the South for a generation to the from the Democratic Party. that Nixon intentionally came in. He branded it. He called it a Southern strategy. There was a name for it. Let's pick up these white racists and bring them into the GOP. Ronald Reagan's first speech as an official candidate for president of the United States was at the Neboshe, I'm mispronouncing that, county fair outside of Philadelphia, Mississippi, a little town of a couple thousand people. Yep. That's only famous for one thing. It's where Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, the three civil rights workers, were murdered, and you know, they made the movie Mississippi Burning out of it.
Yep.
And that was where Reagan gave his first official speech to kick off his campaign for the presidency in 1980. And the entire speech to a white-only audience was about states' rights. It's not like this stuff has been hidden if you're a Republican. The Republicans know what's going on, but it's like the media in this country, and I guess a lot of Democrats, are suddenly, oh, my God, there's racism in the GOP? In a way, I think it might even be a good thing that Donald Trump has just said, to hell with it, I'm just going to be who I am. Because now we're having these kind of conversations that, frankly, we should have been having in 1970.
Right. So this is the thing he's always done, right? He said the quiet part out loud. What happened from, the time before Reagan, although it appeared again in the 80s a lot, was that we had code words for these kinds of things, but the Republicans had learned at least to use code words for them. And what Donald Trump is doing is offering a whole lot of Republicans the excuse to not have to use code words, to actually understand that there's a base that needs supporting, and Nick Fuentes and others like him do energize that base. And hey, they're not going anywhere else. They're not going to the Democrats. The only danger of alienating the base is that they sit home and don't vote because they don't think Republicans are representing them or their identity needs. So to some degree, I don't understand how this political strategy succeeds going forward, because there are, as we saw in the midterm elections, there are just enough people who otherwise would be Republicans or conservatives who are alienated in many cases by anti-democratic movements that Donald Trump represents, for which he's not been held to account, and some of this stuff, and cutting back on abortion rights. So I wonder whether this is a winning strategy. You'll recall you and I have talked about this, that while a lot of people thought the collapse of Roe v. Wade was a victory for Republicans, very few suggested that this become codified in law. Lindsey Graham tried that, and it went absolutely nowhere, because a whole lot of Republicans said, this is actually a bridge too far for us. This is too much. This is going to lose us popular support. So I don't know that it's going to work for Republicans much going forward. It works for the base, and no one understands that base better than Donald Trump does, which is why he used the same excuse for meeting with Nick Fuentes as he used when he met with when David Duke endorsed him in 2016 when he was running for president. He went on CNN, talked to Jake Tapper, and said, I don't know David Duke. I don't know what he said. Did he endorse me? Did he support me? I don't know if he supported me. A lot of people support me. I don't have anything to do with that. That's what he said. There's one easy answer. When you find out that you inadvertently, if it was inadvertent, and I'm not sure it was, I don't understand how Donald Trump wouldn't know who Nick Fuentes was, or whomever made that appointment with him, or whoever invited Kanye West didn't say, by the way, he's with Nick Fuentes. We just did a Google search, and this guy's a anti-Semite Holocaust denier. But even if all of that was true, even if Donald Trump didn't know who he was or didn't know who David Duke was, it's really easy to disavow a racist. That is remarkably low-hanging fruit to say, even to not even disavow all racists, but to say, oh, this guy's a bit of a kook. And that can't even be done. And the fact that you and I are having this conversation is kind of remarkable, that today's Republican Party cannot come out with a unified view about the fact that a presidential candidate or anybody in their party representing their party should not be dining with, having conversations with, unless it's an organized debate against a Holocaust denier and an anti-Semite. That is not happening. And to top it all off, Tom, the pillow guy, the foam pillow guy, wants to be the head of the Republican Party. So this problem is not solving itself anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Which raises an interesting question, which is what's next for the GOP? I mean, the Republican Party, after they purged themselves in 1920 with the election of 1920 was when the party basically officially repudiated Teddy Roosevelt and his successor. And instead just became the party of big business. I mean, you know, Harding's campaign slogans, his two campaign slogans, the first was a return to normalcy, which meant drop the 91% tax rate down to 25%, which he did. And the second was more government in more business in government, less government in business, which meant deregulate and privatize. And he did those things. And that kicked off the Roaring Twenties, which then led straight to the Republican Great Depression, which is what it was called up until the 1940s. Right. So the Republican Party for over a century now has, you know, for a century and 2 years has officially been the party of rich guys and big business. But they, you know, Nixon figured out in 64 that that's not enough to get you elected. So you pick up, you pick up these marginal votes. And in this case, it was like the entire South. I mean, it was just sitting there waiting for them because LBJ had turned his back on them. So they've been coasting now for 50 years, basically, still being the party of rich guys and big business, but selling themselves as the party of, you know, the white guy, basically, you know, the blue collar white guy, wink, wink, right? With the
and they struggled with it a little bit, right? Certainly in the unionization movement, because the unionization
is
not exclusively Democrat. There are a lot of people who support Donald Trump, particularly in some of these unions like police. They've struggled with it for a while, but they have not for a long time been able to say the quiet part out loud. And so I think there's relief on the part of some Republicans who will not condemn Donald Trump for this, that, all right, he's saying it. I don't have to get too close to him, but I will not condemn the idea that Donald Trump either didn't know or had dinner with these guys. And remember, your point that you've made since Richard Nixon in 64, it applies to abortion, too. Abortion was not a mainstream Republican issue. It just
That's
wasn't.
Right. Until 1980.
And they adopted it. Mostly into Reagan's time, but starting from 73 onward, they adopted it because, once again, they saw it as a marginal opportunity to get votes, and it became central to their operation. The Republican Party of 50 years ago did not have abortion or restrictions on abortion as central to its
Reagan
its
signed the most liberal abortion law in America as governor
That's
of California.
Right. So this is the danger. When you go for these marginal votes, if you don't know what you're getting into, the unintended consequences are you become that.
Well,
I mean,
and that's
what a
quick
notion that the Republican Party was a party of rich white guys. I'd have taken that today because that can be debated. You can have those kinds of debates. They don't become a weirdly ideological thing like these things do. How are we debating whether or not what the right thing to do is about anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial? Why are we debating what the right thing to do is with a woman's autonomy over her body? I'm still one of those guys, an economics guy. I'm happy to debate tax rates with you and minimum wage and how health care should be paid for. We've gone into this other territory, this culture war that Republicans continue to accuse Democrats of fueling. It's a Republican thing. This is the culture war.
Well, we have about 50 seconds till we hit a hard break here. So my question is, as the number of white people in society diminishes, and therefore the base, that Republican base that they built in 64, starts to vanish, what do they do next?
Yeah, that is actually, I've got it on my whiteboard here as a conversation that I'm going to be having on my show this weekend. What do they do next? And I hope it's something, because it is not a healthy country to have one political party entirely disappear. But this is a dysfunctional political party. And even conservatives and Republicans with whom I speak, who do not share any of these ridiculous views, are not hopeful that this party is going to fix itself anytime soon. It might be two or three presidential cycles before there is a viable and real Republican party in which a candidate can debate with a Democratic candidate and a voter has an actual choice between two parties. But
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. The great Ali Velshi. Ali Velshi, thanks so much for dropping by. Great talking with you.
My pleasure, sir.
Great. And check out Ali's programs on MSNBC on Saturday and Sunday mornings. Some great reporting, great commentary, great guests. The very best the network has to offer. We'll be back. It's 18 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So is Russia and Putin going to be facing a worldwide tribunal? What's up with that? We'll be right back. You know, the guys in your life aren't boring, so don't give them boring gifts. Give them the gift from Man Crates. Show him you really care with hundreds of totally unique gift options available at mancrates.com. Like the Whiskey Appreciation Crate with a personalized handmade whiskey decanter and tumblers, ice sphere molds, slate coasters, and snacks. Or the Grillmaster Crate with a brass knuckle meat tenderizer, cast iron smoker box, steak thermometers, and more. Man Crates packs his gift in unique containers, so watching him open his gift is an unforgettable experience. Personalization is free, and every ManCrates gift comes with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. I think ManCrates are awesome, and so will the man in your life, or ManCrates will make it right. For the rest of the season, buy one, get one 50% off with the code FESTIVE50 at ManCrates.com. That's code FESTIVE50 at ManCrates.com. One more time, code FESTIVE50 at ManCrates.com. Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my fierce commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America. Also, it more clearly identifies the root cause of so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at tomhartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Looking to score a few extra points by giving the perfect gift this holiday season? I got two great ideas certain to have family and friends bragging about how thoughtful you are. And both are from Cozy Earth, the brand that made Oprah's favorite things list. First, Cozy Earth luxury bedding. I have a set of their sheets, and you can't believe how soft they are. It is like sleeping on a cloud. They're not only super soft, but they're made from the finest premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo. That makes them naturally temperature regulating, so they'll sleep comfortably year-round. We sure do. And second, anything from their luxurious loungewear collection, including soft and stylish bamboo pajamas, joggers, tees, and more. While you're there, check out their premium plush and waffle bath towels. They'll love those too. And every Cozy Earth bedding item comes in a very cool reusable canvas bag. I can get you 40% off right now on Cozy Earth products. Hurry, this holiday offer ends soon. Go to CozyEarth.com and enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, at checkout, and you will get a 40% discount. That's CozyEarth.com with the promo code T-H-O-M. CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom for 40% off. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And I wanted to just update you on what's going on with Macron and Biden. One of the core pieces of Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act was Buy America, was requiring the federal government, when it makes purchases, to source things from American sources first. Now, this goes back to the 1930s. The original Buy America Act was passed in the 1930s during the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And it had a provision in it that said that the government doesn't have to buy everything made in America. They can, if they're going to buy something from a foreign country, they can simply basically write an exception. They have to, you know, provide an excuse, but they can make exceptions. And during the Reagan administration, they basically just made exceptions to everything and said the federal government can buy from any place because we believe in the so-called global free market. And it's just gotten worse over the years. So Biden is trying to pull this back and say, no, we want things that are made in America to be the things that are being used by the U.S. government. And Macron comes over and says, this is a problem. We make things in France. We'd like you to buy them. He said, there is a risk today we must discuss among friends. The risk is that in the face of the challenges I mentioned, that the U.S. looks first to the U.S., which is normal. We do the same. But the choices made, whose goals I share, especially the IRA and the CHIPS Act, are choices that will fragment the West because they create such differences between the U.S. and Europe. This is interesting that, I was expecting the big headline story coming out of this meeting between Macron and Biden to be that they were going to try to prosecute Putin. And, you know, that's part of it. And there's a fancy state dinner that's going to happen tonight. And, you know, it's all that sort of thing. But that the main thing he wanted to discuss was trade policy, I find fascinating. Now, Macron is a neoliberal. And Biden has largely repudiated neoliberalism. Neoliberalism, the idea that, you know, international free markets are a good thing, that big corporations should be able to find the cheapest labor anywhere they can in the world, that there should be no barriers to protect individual countries' businesses, that, you know, the largest, you know, multinational corporations win, and that's the way it should be. Macron believes those things. He is a neoliberal. And there's still a bunch of neoliberals left in Europe. I mean, hell, there's still a lot of neoliberals left in the United States, the entire Republican Party to begin with. But Biden has left that behind, that policy that Reagan adopted in 1981. And I think it's a good thing.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
So just speaking for myself, I would say to President Biden, stand strong. Stand up to Mr. Macron on this. We'll be back.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Spoiled supermarket meats, sawdust-like fillers, artificial preservatives, these are just a few of the potentially harmful ingredients found in many popular dog foods today. That's why Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend, a freeze-dried raw dog food made with real cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, superfood veggies, and fruit. Dr. Marty has been called the miracle worker by Forbes because he's helped countless dogs thrive. Our dogs love this food. Nature's Blend is designed to help support your dog's playfulness, healthy skin, soft coat, easy digestion, and youthful mobility. Dogs go bonkers for the savory flavor and texture. For the holidays, save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and a free festive holiday dog sweater with select orders. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. They offer 100%
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You know, I grew up hearing that women are bad with money. But like many of you, I spent years paying bills, managing checking accounts, and taking care of my family. So, turns out, women are pretty good with money after all. And now, I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. It's never too late to start, and there's a great website to help you. Check out WeSaySaveIt.org and jumpstart your retirement savings on your budget and your timeline. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19. We are the boy band. Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on SiriusXM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. The holidays are right around the corner, and Louise and I are ready. Why? Because we use HelloFresh, especially now with the flu, COVID, and viruses going around. I don't want to go to the store. HelloFresh delivers delicious recipes and more right to our door, so we can skip that extra grocery store trip, take a break from meal planning, and actually enjoy this special time of the year. HelloFresh always has something new to try, with over 35 chef-crafted recipes each week, chock full of quality ingredients and choice proteins. Plus, we can stock our pantry and even prep for a party with seasonal and convenience items from the HelloFresh market. When we're in a hurry, their 20-minute meals and easy cleanup options make for more quality time around the dinner table and less time in the kitchen. And saving money is always a priority around the holidays. HelloFresh is cheaper than grocery shopping and 25% less expensive than takeout. I can get you 70% off when you sign up, plus free shipping with the code TOM70, THOM70, at HelloFresh.com/TOM70. That's code TOM70 at HelloFresh.com/TOM70. HelloFresh.com/TOM70. And welcome back, picking up your calls. Oh, by the way, President Biden also said that he would be willing to talk to President Putin of Russia about Ukraine, but only in consultation with his NATO allies. I have not yet heard about this tribunal in this conversation with Biden. I opened the show with this. I was fully expecting it. I've been keeping track of the news fairly carefully here during the breaks. It's what I do. But France has been publicly pushing the creation of a special tribunal specifically to try senior Russian officials, including Putin, for the crime of aggression against Ukraine. And this Ursula von der Leyen, who is the president of the European Union, has also supported this. And Holland, the Netherlands, have come out and said, if you want to put it here in The Hague, we'll give you a new building or a new office or whatever. You know, we'll make it happen. So that's kind of good news, I suppose. Isabel Koshlow, writing for The Guardian, notes, France's announcement is a strong indicator that the West is becoming disillusioned with the prospect of negotiations with Russia. So you wonder if there's a carrot and stick thing going on here, where the stick is France and the European Union and the Netherlands coming out and saying, yeah, we're prepared to try Vladimir Putin for crimes against humanity. And Biden is and Macron are saying, well, we're willing to talk to Mr. Putin if he wants to end his war. It's like, okay, which would you like, the carrot or the stick? Here's the stick, here's the carrot. So we'll see. We'll see where this all goes. I have no idea. Anyhow, picking up your phone calls, Dr. Joanne in Westland, Michigan. Hey, Joanne, what's up?
Hi, Tom. First time caller, and I long back. I think I go back to you when you were in Westland area.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I used to live in Westland.
You used to live in my neighborhood.
Louise and I lived in Westland when our oldest daughter was born, literally 49 years ago. Anyhow.
I go back that far with you almost on the radio.
Okay.
But I'm a first time caller. I'm also a doctor of divinity and an anthropologist. So okay. Let me do what I would do to my students to deal with this Israelite thing. First of all, we're going to identify some things. Hebrew is not a culture. It is a language that's spoken. And more than Israelites spoke Hebrew in northern Egypt in the land of Goshen. Other people, other cultures spoke Hebrew. So remember that. Stop calling it as if it's a nation. It's not. Israelite is a nation. Now, let's get to Judaism. And then I'll go to what I really called you for. Judaism is one tribe. Judah. The tribe that David came from. There are 11 other sons that had tribes too. Well, Joseph, you know, Manasseh and Ephraim were the tribes. But let me tell you something why they're mixed. We know that Egypt is the grandson of Ham. And Ethiopia, that land, and it was referred to as black, as the black-faced land. So we know, but it wasn't the Ethiopia we know today, because most of Africa that they call Ethiopia was more than what we call it today. But I want to get to why people don't think when they read that Bible. We're going to take two characters, Joseph, and we're going to take Joseph and Moses. Joseph married Potiphar's daughter, who was an Egyptian woman. He had two sons, Manasseh, and Ephraim. Jacob actually gave them a double portion, more than the other sons, the other 11 sons. So they had to be Egyptian women. If Egypt is the grandson of Ham, what color is Egypt?
Right.
It's black.
Right.
Okay, you got me?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Let's look at we got Joseph. Now, let's look at Moses. Ain't no way in the world if Moses was white, he would have been in the Pharaoh's house. The Pharaoh's queen.
But there were no white people anywhere in that part of the world at that time.
No, it was not. And then I got something else to tell you that you're going to agree with me, and I'm doing this to your fact, being the anthropologist that I am. When Jacob went into northern Egypt, he took 12 sons and one daughter. We got to take Joseph out. 11 sons and one daughter. All of those sons couldn't have made that one daughter could not have made the 1.5 billion people that Moses took out. They had to intermingle with the Africans.
Sure.
With the Ethiopia, I know it's Egypt, but I'm going to call it Africa. They had to intermingle with them to come up with 1.5 million people through Moses to lead out of that country.
Yeah.
And another thing, the eunuch that meets Philip on the road, that tells him about reading the book of Isaiah and how he didn't know. He represented Candace, Queen Candace, who was an African woman. Her empire stretched from the Red Sea to the Atlantic Ocean. And you know what the Atlantic Ocean was called in those days? It was called Ethiopia, Ocean of Ethiopia. So there was an intermingling of Semitic and Hamanites. And I'm going to go because I know you got to go. But Semitic, they intermingled.
Yeah.
So you get a mixed race. And then you want to know another thing, too? Culturally, in the Middle East, there were no whites. You know why? Because the sun was so hot there. We didn't have clouds like we had today. Jesus is African Asian.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it, Joanne. The kind of micro, the granular detail that you're talking about connecting biblical history to actual archaeology and all that, I can't speak to. I'm not a scholar of that stuff like you apparently are, but I find it all fascinating and just the whole conversation. I think is fascinating. Dr. Joanne, thank you for the call so much. It's nice to hear from Westland. Miguel in Frederick, Maryland. Hey, Miguel, what's on your mind today?
Hey, love your show. Love the discussions. I call for one thing, but there's so much to say. I'm going to try to summarize the one thing. You know, there are three books of Chancellor Williams' Destruction of African Civilization. There is Achak Diop, his father was a Yemenese Jew that left Yemen, and he has a history. The problem is people have a history that were actually stayed in the Semitic region, which is North Africa. He has a history, and they went to Ethiopia, and so his people became Falasha Jews.
Right.
It's a circular thing. And footnote, the Falasha Jews are treated worse than the blacks are treated in the South in Israel right now. But, and then there's Martin Bernal, Black Athena, which is speaking to what everybody's saying. Now, the Israelites coming out of New York and London, they were offensive to me because I've been in New York and London, I've heard them, and I was like, it's almost said to raise interest. But the point, I think the point they're getting at
by Israelites, are you talking about the people who call themselves Black Israelites?
Black Israelites. Black Israelites. Yeah, they're doing it to raise, it's hard to listen to them on that. But those three books lay out that, hey, not everybody as a faith, especially the slaves that came to the United States, the culture, their language, their religion was stolen from them.
Sure.
And so what you're seeing is people grabbing back saying, hey, it's more than that. And we're the people when they say black, and I think part of it is when they say black, I am not black, I am this, it's a slap in the face to white supremacy. Because white supremacy wants you to say, I am nothing. You were created by me, by white people.
Yeah.
Why white people come here and they're here, they know they're European. When mm-hmm. black people come here, they don't know where they came from, as the gentleman said. So by saying that, it's offensive to that nature. But those three books, Martin Bernal, Achak Diop, and Chance William, all Yale-educated, all graduates, they write out every history that you're being told is not true. And it goes back to the whole idea of Edward I. Said's book, The New Orientalism, that speaks to this.
Yeah, although, you know, Saeed was also the father of Al-Qaeda.
I know, but the book was... you know,
which was another kind of, you know, we're the only chosen people movement. You know, it's...
I agree, but you could also say the thing about the Jewish Defense League. I mean, everybody, that's what I'm saying. Everybody has a group of people that are just very forceful in the discussion, and there's a group of people that think, but there are books that everybody could read that you would see where the root of this thing is. But what I was calling about, too, is that there's a book, there's an article from IOHUD, I don't know how to say it, The Racial and Class Assault, How a War on Free Tuition Presaged the Student Debt Crisis. And it speaks directly to the Southern, it mentions everything you just said about the Southern strategy coming out of Nixon, because Nixon and Ford did it. It's when he told the United States, New York State, to drop debt. He's not covering it because they couldn't pay the bonds on the Verrazano. But what cracks me up is that all the leadership coming out of New York went to school free. The second that the Supreme Court was integrated, all of a sudden free schools stopped. So all that time, black people, Hispanic people were paying for tuition for people that would be oppressive. And then the question you had is, like, what is the Republican Party going to do? They're going to make Hispanics white, just like they made Italians white and Irish white.
I agree.
That is,
they're in the absolutely. I've been talking about this for a year now. That the GOP has been reaching out to Hispanics and saying, hey, you know, white privilege is a cool thing. We'll extend it to you too. Just join with us against the black people and the Jewish people.
Right. And the funny part, Tom, there's a post on YouTube where someone's talking about they just went to see Mexican, just went to see the Black Panther, and they loved it. But he says you should hear what the press is saying in Mexico against the Black Panther, because they were unhappy that Namor, the main antagonist in there, was seen as brown skinned Indian, like Native American, like pre-Aztec descent. They felt that he was too brown. Why didn't they choose a white person for Namor? Because Mexico, you know, is white.
Right. That's interesting. I have not seen the movie. I haven't seen any movies in years.
But this is Mexicans telling other Mexicans
that
the majority of Mexicans are brown. Yeah. But only thing you see on TV are white people.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
And that white people on Mexican television, I've seen that. I know what you're talking about. That reflects this very hierarchical, racially hierarchical culture I experienced when I was working in Colombia, when I was working in Peru. It's there. It's very real. Miguel, thanks a lot for the call. It's great to hear from you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I will be right back with more of your calls. You know, the guys in your life aren't boring, so don't give them boring gifts. Give them the gift from Man Crates. Show him you really care with hundreds of totally unique gift options available at mancrates.com. Like the Whiskey Appreciation Crate with a personalized handmade whiskey decanter and tumblers, ice sphere molds, slate coasters, and snacks. Or the Grillmaster Crate with a brass knuckle meat tenderizer, cast iron smoker box, steak thermometers, and more. Man Crates packs his gift in unique containers, so watching him open his gift is an unforgettable experience. Personalization is free, and every Man Crates gift comes with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. I think Man Crates are awesome, and so will the man in your life, or Man Crates will make it right. For the rest of the season, buy one, get one 50% off with the code FESTIVE50 at mancrates.com. That's code FESTIVE50 at mancrates.com. One more time, code FESTIVE50 at mancrates.com.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So what gifts are you getting this year for the wine lovers and entertaining mavens in your life? For this holiday season, why not go to wineenthusiast.com for unique quality wine gifts and accessories for everyone naughty or nice on your list. You want it, they have it. Wine Enthusiast designs and offers the largest selection of wine storage for every drinker, every budget, and every collection from 6 to 600 bottles. Plus, expert wine storage consultants are available by phone to help you find the right fit for all your needs. WineEnthusiast.com is a holiday gift-giving destination that Louise and I are using this year. They've got the best customer reviews and hassle-free returns. Visit WineEnthusiast.com or text CHEERS to 73784. That's CHEERS to 73784. Shop the best prices of the holiday season on wine gifts everyone will love at wineenthusiast.com. From premium wine storage and dazzling decanters to personalized cheese boards and outdoor axe throwing sets, bring wine to life with Wine Enthusiast. Text CHEERS to 73787. CHEERS to 73787. Message and data rates may apply. 53 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls, George in Chicago. Hey, George, what's up?
Thank you for taking my call, Tom. One quick note before I get to my point. I didn't hear this myself, but a friend related to me about 15 or 20 minutes ago that he heard on MSNBC that the Republican lieutenant governor of Georgia announced publicly that he did not vote for Herschel Walker.
Really?
And apparently.
Brad Raffensperger.
Yeah, and well, is he the lieutenant governor
oh,
now?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, he's the secretary of state. I'm the lieutenant governor, I don't recall. I'm sorry.
I don't either, but apparently he left that line on his ballot blank.
Wow.
So amazing. That's interesting. Anyway, just a couple of quick remarks about this subject.
Jeff Duncan. is the
Judaism and Jewishness.
Sure.
It's always fascinated me that in both Ireland and in Jewish culture, the name for priest is almost exactly the same. It's Kohen in Ireland and Cohen or Kohain in Hebrew, lends a certain amount of credence to those who believe that in ancient times Jewish mariners did make it to Ireland.
Sure.
Or maybe vice versa. Who knows?
Yeah.
Second thing, with respect to any previous callers, it's been my experience that to anybody who is on the red side of the equation, right-wing, reactionary, redneck, racist white people, whether they're Klan John Birch or not, have never seen Jewish people as Caucasian. And in the extreme, Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, and particularly the SS, absolutely would reject the idea that they were Caucasian.
Yep.
Nothing more needs to be said about that, obviously. And one of the most intelligent, thoughtful men I've ever known, this is back when I was younger and was working on a truck dock, loading and unloading over-the-road trailers, I worked with a gentleman who was an Ethiopian Israelite and learned a whole lot from him. It was a real eye-opener. I mean, I was young at the time and had never heard anything about this, and he was patient and explained a lot of it to me. And even though we were a bunch of, semi-subcultured teamsters, everybody respected this guy because he just radiated righteousness and decency.
Yeah.
And it just opens up your eyes to how much there is in the world that you don't know. And one last quick thing. I'm a Chicagoan, and I come from the South Side, the great tribe of the unwashed who, if they take a shower, it's after work and not before, or the blue-collar lunch bucket side of town. And even though an ethnic Russian Pole like me doesn't have any obvious similarities with Barack Obama, I have to tell you that when he was elected president, that was one of the happiest, proudest days of my life, that somebody from my side of town made it to the highest office in the land.
Yeah.
I mean, that if you're a South Sider, you know how much that means.
Yeah, my dad grew up on the South Side of Chicago. They moved to Michigan when he was, I think, 13, 14, something like that, maybe 12. But yeah, he grew up there. George, I got to run. But he grew up in a little part that was this little Norwegian ghetto. It was, very poor area. George, I got to run. But thank you for the call and for all your thoughts. What a conversation we've had today. Tomorrow's Friday. Anything goes Friday, right? So it'll be you and me all day, and we can talk about anything we want. Continue this conversation or get into others. But thanks so much for being with us today. And I look forward to continuing the conversation tomorrow. And in the meantime, get out there and get active, because there is so much to do to maintain this democracy of ours and help democracies around the world. So tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at wesaysaveit.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.